Good morning. Today's Daf and Gittin is Mem Tes. We're starting this morning the fifth parak of the Masechta. Fifth parak of Gittin is not related to Gittin. In fact, over the course of this parak, we're going to go through a number of takanas that were made by Chazal. The principled reason is tikkun olam. Certain adjustments, corrections need to be made. A lot of it has to do with finance and commerce and lending. And so, despite the fact that we're going to be taking a little bit of a respite from learning about Gittin, but nevertheless, this is a pretty popular parak that revolves around various takanas that were made by Chazal. And let's get underway. We're going to be starting with the Mishnah. We're back on yesterday's daf, Mem Ches Amud Beis. But I stopped here simply because this is a good starting point as we are now going to introduce ourselves to a number of takanas that were made by the Chachamim. Let's begin. So a person does damage, so he has to pay. So that is Baba Kama summarized in a single sentence. Okay, you break it, you pay for it. So the Mishnah is telling us that when you pay, so you have to pay. Allow me just for a moment to introduce you to the Chazal's appraisal of properties. Our properties are going to be graded. They're going to be graded A, B, and C grade property. So A property is what the Mishnah describes as Idis. And B property is Beninus, and C property is Ibaris. Right? Obviously, A, B, and C are my own designations, but it's just an easy way to describe it and an easy way to think about it. So when you're being Mazik, so you have to pay using A. In other words, the Torah says very clearly, the Gemara is going to make this point, that when you do damage, so Metav Sadeh Yishalem. So the Torah's description is that you're going to be paying. Now, how do you pay? Now, you could pay with cash. In other words, you don't have to pay the damages with actually giving the damaged party actual property, but if you pay with property, so the Torah is very clear. The Torah says, "Meitav sadeh yishalem." You got to pay with your best property. Now, just to be clear, by the way, because I know this can get a little bit confusing. So, if you're going to be paying with A property, you're going to be paying with less of the A property because the A property is going to obviously appraise for more. So, for example, if you did $1,000 worth of damage, so your A property that's going to appraise for $1,000 is going to be a smaller parcel than your C property that's going to be used to pay. So when all said and done, so the actual money that you are going to be paying is going to be the same money. In other words, the damage is going to be appraised, it's going to have a value, and you're going to pay for that value. So in theory, it doesn't make a difference whether you're paying with Idis or Ziboris, A or C property, you're going to be paying $1,000 worth of that property. But Rashi points out over here, right? It's the first Rashi in the Mishnah, but no achlola adam. It's true, but people just simply prefer A property. In other words, the A property, I guess it sells quicker. In other words, there are certain basic advantages that you have, even though from a value standpoint, you're going to be receiving the same value, but people just prefer to have Idis. They prefer to have better property. The Gemara is going to ask the obvious question, which is going to be a good part of today's daf, and that is that the Mishnah is couching this as, this is a tikkun olam. This is an adjustment that was made by Chazal in order to make the world better, in order to make life better. And the obvious question, which the Gemara is going to ask, I'm just simply setting us up, and that is that, what do you mean tikkun olam? Meaning the Torah says, b'meitav sadeh yishalem, that the mazik pays paying with idis. So why would the Mishnah couch this as if this is some sort of special takanas Chazal? We are going to discuss it when we get to the Gemara. Bachel b'meinis, when you are paying back your lender, and you're not paying with money, but you're paying with property. So, which grade property do you pay? B grade property. The Gemara is going to discuss that in more detail. Ksuvas isha b'zibaris, Rameir omer ksuvas isha b'beinus. And then the Mishnah goes on to describe, what about ksuvas isha? Now, a ksuvas isha is just simply an outstanding debt, meaning it's a note, and it's not due while you're married, but post-marriage, of course, it's going to be due. So, but what do you pay with? So, machlokas tonight, whether you pay with zibaris or whether you pay with beinus. C property or B property, the Gemara is going to discuss that. Also, everything in the Mishnah over here is going to be discussed in the Gemara, right? We're just setting ourselves up. Here in the Mishnah, we're just simply bullet pointing one halach after another, one takan after another, and everything's going to be discussed in much greater detail in the Gemara. Okay. A fourth takana now mentioned the Mishnah, and that is Ein Nifraim Menachasim Meshubadim Bemakom Sheish Nechasim Menachorim. Now, when let's say you have creditors coming, and or anyone you're obligated in, and they have a lien on property. And so now let's say that property is no longer by you. Let's say you sold the property. So that property now is by somebody else, but you have a lien on that property. So another takana is that you cannot come and collect and exercise your lien if there are properties free and clear held by the lova. So as long as the lova has any properties that he currently is in possession of, so you by rights cannot go after any mortgage properties if the mortgage properties were already sold. That's another takana. Obviously over there what we're doing is that we're protecting buyers with that takana. Again, that's going to be discussed in much greater detail when we get to the Gemara, and that'll come later down the road. And a fifth takana in the Mishnah. Ein Ephraim Menichse Yisomim Ela Minizibaris. Okay, whenever you're collecting debt from Yisomim. So in other words, the father died. Now the estate now has outstanding account payables. And now you're coming in, you're collecting. You have the account receivable. So in such a situation, so the estate is not going to be paying not Edith, not Benis, but rather just the Boris. Again, it's a way of protecting the estate. It's a way of protecting the children, the orphans. Okay. Ein motzi in lachilas peros.
This is in all categories, all three, mezikin, bachoy, all three.
Okay, fine. Right, in other words, which chovas are we talking about? Presumably all three. Yeah. Presumably. Okay. Okay. I feel like the Gemara is going to talk about it. I don't remember. Okay, I'm just being honest. Okay. Ein motzien achilas peros l'shva. Ein motzien. This is now going to be a sixth account in the Mishnah. Ein motzien achilas peros l'shevach kakaos. So, okay. Now, this particular takana, so this has got a story to it. In fact, I'm just going to go through the Rashi inside. Just so that we see what's going on over here. Rashi describes, Agezos Adam Achel Acher. So what you do is you steal the field and then you sell it off to somebody else. Stealing property is always just hard to wrap our heads around. In other words, right, it's hard to steal property. Not impossible, but it's definitely challenging. But basically what you do is you're taking the owner of the property and you're forcibly removing him from that property. And then you just assume ownership of the property. Okay, it's an exercise of power, obviously. But anyway, Rashi describes, and now, after having stolen the property, you then go ahead and sell the property. And for purposes of this example, let's assume that the buyer did not know that it was stolen property. Okay, good. Now, the nigzal, so obviously he would like compensation. In other words, that property did belong to him. So he goes to the buyer and he says to the buyer, look, I'm really sorry, but in other words, it wasn't the seller's to sell. He stole it from me. It's my property. So now what the victim is going to do is he's just going to simply take back his property. So far, so good. Now, since the buyer has bought that property, so he's put a lot of investment into the property. He has purchased manure and he's worked the property. So now he's gonna, and not only that, but there's also now produce on the property as well. So now as the property is getting taken away from him, so he's going to be looking for a lot of compensation. First and foremost, the purchase price of the property. And then after that, all the investment that he put in. And then after that, if there are any payers on the property, so he wants the compensation for the pears as well. In other words, obviously, he would like to be compensated for all that. So, now, as far as the purchase price of the property is concerned, so the buyer is going to go back to the seller. Now, I will say good luck to him. In other words, if you remember, the seller's a thief. So I'm not really sure how easy it's going to be for him to get money out of the seller, but obviously with full entitlement. Rashi describes over here that the sale was done with achrayus, a guarantee, a personal guarantee, recourse, if in the event something happens to the sale. Okay. So as far as the purchase price is concerned, the buyer's going to go back to the seller and get compensation, full compensation for the purchase price. V'esaperus menechasim menecharin v'lo memeshubadim. Now, as far as Paris is concerned, in other words, the buyer now is also going to need to be compensated for the pears because now that there's fruit that's grown on the field, so that also is a loss to the to the buyer. So the seller is also going to compensate for that. But for that, it's not going to come from nechasim mishubadim. It's only going to come from nechasim nechorim. Okay. V'chein l'shevach karkaros yimishbech alokeach benetiyas gilanos otayva bezeva v'dayre. Similarly, in other words, whatever he put in as far as investment is concerned, the manure, the fertilizing, it's the same thing. So all that also he could seek compensation for, but for that, he could only collect from B'nai Chorin, not from Mishubadim. From the B'nai Chorin of the seller, but not the Mishubadim of the seller. Okay? All that will be explained even in more detail as we get to the Gemara, but admittedly, by the way, that's a mouthful. Just to explain what that takana is. We're going to come back to it later, not today. Okay, and then a seventh takana of the Mishnah. As far as support is concerned for the widow and for the daughters, so that's coming from nechasim meshubadim, meaning that the widow and the daughters are going to be entitled not only to get supported by the estate, but in other words, but that support is going to be, they're going to have a lien on that support. So that means to say that if the estate sells off any properties and the estate has no money left, so now the widow and the daughters can go ahead and collect from the Mishubadim. In other words, they can exercise that lien on that property. And Mimnei Tikkun Olam, and the Mishnah just simply says at the end that all this is done for the purposes of Tikkun Olam, meaning basically these are various institutions, the adjustments that are made by Chazal to just simply streamline and make the grieved parties more whole, if you will. Okay, an eighth takana over here in the Mishnah. I'm not really sure why it is that this takana gets kind of like subdivided from the previous seven. But an eighth takana in the Mishnah is that when you return a lost item, so you don't have to make a shvuah, right? Just imagine for a moment that you return a lost item and for let's say the person that you're returning it says, hey, that's thank you very much, but there's some money missing in the wallet. Can you account for that? You can't? Let's go to Beis Din. Let's make a shvuah. So you can easily imagine now no one's going to be incentivized to go and return an item. So therefore, basically, a pardon, a forgiveness from the motzei to go ahead and make any kind of shvuah, it'll definitely give him more incentive to want to return the item, knowing that he won't have to make a shvuah. Ad Khan. We just introduced ourselves over here at the beginning of the fifth parak to 8 takanas that were made by Chazal. And let's discuss all of them in much greater detail. The first takana of the Mishnah, on one hand, is understandable. On the other hand, why in the world are we calling it a takana? The first takana of the Mishnah is that when you damage somebody, you have to pay using Yiddis. You have to pay with your A property. Not B, not C, but rather A property. And the Gemara's question is very simple, meaning I certainly agree with that conclusion. I have no idea why in the world the Mishnah would call that a takana. What do you mean? It's tikkun olam. It's a rabbinic institution. It's not a rabbinic institution. It's called the pasuk in the Torah. Okay, it's a strong question. It's such a strong question that we're going to be spending more than half of today's daf trying to respond to this question. Why would the Mishnah call it tikkun olam? Meanwhile, it's a pasuk in the Torah. Amar Rabbi Lo Tzricha El Rabbi Shmuel Darmi Medaraisa B'Dinizak Shaminan. So the Gemara says, okay, so our Mishnah is subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says that Min HaTorah, we're going to be, the assessment, the appraisal is going to be coming from the standpoint of the Nizak, the damaged party. That's Min HaTorah. And meanwhile, the Takana is that we're going to shift and we're going to move over to the Mazik and we're going to judge it from his perspective, not the perspective of the Nizak. Okay, this needs clarification. As I just read the Gemara, as I even just translated the words of the Gemara, right now we really lack basic understanding of what the Gemara is even presenting. So I'm going to ask everyone just to wait a moment. It'll take the Gemara just more than a couple of lines just even to explain itself. What did we just say? So my Rebbe Shmuel Detanya. So first and foremost, Machlokes Tanayim. The pasuk says, I'm just reading the whole pasuk. Ki yaver isha de o kerem. So a series of psukim and parshas mishpatim over here, Perchav Beis. So the Torah describes that when you damage somebody's property, so you have to pay. And the Torah's wording is very clear. You pay Meitav Sadehu, the best of Sadehu, his field. Now, of course, his is a pronoun, and this happens often throughout Shas, and here's a good example, where you have Meitav Sadehu, his field. Well, which field are we talking about? Meaning, are we talking about the damage, the Nizak, or are we talking about the one that did the damage, the Mazik? So Meitav Sadehu Shal Nizak, Meitav Kamar Shal Nizak, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel says that we're talking about that of the Nizak. So the one who is damaged. And we're going to be assessing damages based on what the Nizak's properties look like. Now, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Lo Baha Kasuv, Ela Legabos Nizakin, Mina Idis. So Rabbi Kiva says, nope. The pasuk is only coming to tell me that we're going to be collecting damages from the best. And obviously over here it means the best of the mazik. Clearly that's what he means because he's arguing with Rabbi Shmuel. And over here we only have two choices. It's either going to be the nizak or the mazik. And if Rabbi Shmuel says it's a nizak, so obviously Rabbi Kiva says it's a mazik. V'kavachomer lehekdesh. And oh, by the way, if you're paying edus if you're paying edus and damages bein adam lechavero, you're certainly going to be paying edus when it comes to damages, when you damage anything that belonged to Hekdesh. Okay. Even now, all we've done so far is that we've presented that there is a machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, and yet we really don't have understanding. Meaning, if you're not following right now what this machlokas is, you're good. you're good. Because the Gemara just simply presented the machlokas, but right now we don't understand what are they arguing about. And the Gemara is going to clarify, the Gemara will clarify. So now the Gemara says, I don't understand. This Shita Rabbi Shmuel, right? Rabbi Shmuel's of the position that when assessing damages, the pasuk in the Torah that says, Meitav Sadehu, Meitav Karma Yishalem. So what are we talking about? Nizak, right? Meitav Sadehu Shal Nizak, Meitav Karma Shal Nizak. We're assessing it from the standpoint of the one who was damaged. So the Gemara says, I really don't understand. So achal shmeina, mishalim shmeina. So if you damage a row in your neighbor's field and it happens to be shmeina, fat, juicy, good, so you're going to be paying shmeina achal kchusha. If let's say where your animal goes into your neighbor's field and eats inferior produce. So, Mishalim Shemena. So now, I'm trying to understand. So you're telling me now that what you're going to be paying is you're going to be paying Shemena? It can't be what the Pasuk is referring to, meaning that can't be Pshan Rabbi Yishmael. I'm Ravidi Barav, and Achim Ma'ai Skin, Kegosh Achla Aruga Mibin Arugas, Velo Yadinan, Ikhusha Achal Yishmena Achal, De Misham Leimi Meitav. So the Gemara makes another attempt at understanding Rabbi Yishmael. Maybe what happened is that your animal went into your neighbor's field and ate a row of produce. And what row did he eat? In other words, your neighbor had different types of produce, inferior, superior. And your animal ate and, quite frankly, don't know. Don't know which one he ate. Did he eat shmeina or did he eat kchusha? So we're really just right now at the point where we don't even know the value of the damage that was caused. And now, maybe what Rabbi Shmuel is telling me is, you know what you're going to do? In order to make good, you're going to be paying shmeina. You're going to be paying the higher value. Gemara says it can't be. It can't be. So Amar Rava Yilo Yadina Dechusha Achal Mishalim Chusha Hashdolo Yadinan Mishalim Shmeina Motzme Chaveiro Lavaraya. Come on. In other words, if we know that your animal ate chusha, so the value of damage is obviously less, and that's what you're going to be paying. You're going to be paying the value of the damages. So now in a case where it's suffix and I don't know, and we know damage was done, we just simply don't know the value, and there's a range. Damage could be anywhere between, I'm simply throwing out numbers now. Damage could be anywhere within the range of $50 to $100, and I don't know. So, and now you're extracting money from me to pay for the damages? Obviously, I need to pay for the damages. But in the case where there's a range, I'm always going to go with the lower number. Hamotzi mechavera lavaraya. You're taking money away from me. Now, again, you're taking money away from me. I know I owe you, but I certainly owe you $50. I may not owe you the $100. And you have to bring proof positive that I owe you that money. I'm the muchzik of my money. Hamotzi mechaver al averaya. So at this point in time, we're still struggling to understand what Rabbi Shmuel even means when he says bedinizak. So Alam Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. So the Gemara says, okay, So what we're going to have to do, obviously, is give voice to Rabbi Shmuel and give svara to Rabbi Shmuel. He means the following. This machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel is describing the following scenario, and that is that I have three grades of property, and me being the mazik, the damager, right? In other words, just for purpose of illustration, so it'll be my animal that did the damage. So I have three grades of property, A, B, and C, and the aggrieved party also has three grades of property, A, B, and C. However, my C is his A. Now I know that's a little bit strange, by the way. In other words, what we just started discovering is the grading system is not an objective grading system. There is no standard in terms of what's an A property, what's a B property, and what's a C property. Meaning, what the Gemara did in terms of explaining Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel is it kind of threw us a little bit of a curveball. But okay, we can hit a curveball.
Wouldn't that just mean the best that
you have? Right. So correct. So in other words, now, correct. So now, Edith Bein Zibaris is now going to be subjective, and it's going to be the best that I have, or the best that he has. So now, Hachabah my skin can go and shaisa Edith the Nizak, ki Zibaris the Mazik. So he's got properties, but not nearly as good as mine, meaning his A is my C. And so now the question here is really simple. When the Torah's instructions is, my animal did damage, I have to pay. So I have to pay now the best. Who's best? That's the question. In other words, do I pay his best? Which for me would only be C. Okay, but that's his best. Alternatively, no. I have to pay my A. My A is far superior than his A. Okay, yesh kavach. But that's, in other words, maybe that's what the Torah wants. The Gemara says, that's the Nekud HaMachlokes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says, Rabbi Denizek Shaimin, Rabbi Kiva says, Rabbi Demazek Shaiminan. So Rabbi Shmuel says that really when assessing, it's going to be from the perspective of the Nizak, meaning that according to Rabbi Shmuel, so of my ABC, meaning me the damager, the Mazik, of my A, B, and C, which one do I have to pay? C. Why? Because my C is his A, right? His A is no better than my C. Huh. So now I only have to pay my C. That's according to Rabbi Shmuel. And according to Rabbi Akiva, bidem mazik shayminan, I pay my A. That's the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. And oh, by the way, now we understand the Mishnah. Meaning, this now really helps us see the Mishnah. Because what did the Mishnah teach us? The Mishnah taught us that there's a takana. So what's the takana? So it works out perfectly now according to Rabbi Shmuel. Because according to Rabbi Shmuel, when I damage somebody's property, and we're talking about in a circumstance in which his A is my C, so min haTorah, what do I have to pay? My C. Okay? And mid Rabbanan Takana, what do I have to pay? My A. That's the Takana.
According to Rabbi Shmuel.
Now, according to Rabbi Akiva, obviously, it's hard to say a Pshat in our Mishnah. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, min haTorah, I have to pay my A. So there's no need for a takana. I can't go higher than my A.
So what's
the machlokus is whether I have to pay my A or my C. But the Gemara's objective right now is teach me what is pshat in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says this is takana. What takana are we talking about? The takana is according to Rabbi Shmuel. For Rabbi Shmuel, min haTorah, I only have to pay my C in a circumstance where my C is equivalent to his A. And then midrabanan, the Tachachamim turned to me and said, you're not going to be paying your C, you're going to be paying your A. That's the Takana.
No.
Because
of Rabbi Kiva,
according to Rabbi Kiva and Achinami, this pshat's not going to work for Rabbi Kiva. The objective of the Gemara right now is just teach me pshat in the Mishnah. You're right, and Nachanami. And then it comes out that Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel are going to be both agreeing, but how did they get there? Rabbi Kiva says it's that simple pshat in the Torah. Rabbi Shmuel says no, it's not simple pshat in the Torah. It only comes about via Takana. Okay. So my time with Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, so now a little bit under the hood. So now we're here and we're good. And now the Gemara is going to do a little classic. Let me try to understand Rabbi Shmuel a little bit better. Let me try to understand Rabbi Kiva a little bit better. So my time with the Rabbi Shmuel Nemra Sadalamata Venemra Sadalamala Masadamur Lamala Denizak Afsadamur Lamata Denizak. So in the Pasuk, I'm not going to go through the Pasuk right now, please forgive me. But in the Pasuk it says the word Sada twice, once when describing the actual damage that was done. Obviously, whose property is being damaged? The Nizak. Now when the Torah talks about assessment and how do you pay, and the Torah says the word Sada, so what Rabbi Shmuel will argue is it's still holding by the Nizak. Rabbi Kiva Savar, Meitav Sadeh Shalem, Dehechtekam Shalem. And Rabbi Kiva will tell you, look, the drushas, I'm into drushas, but you can't ignore Pashup Shat in the Pasuk. Meaning if I were giving the Pasuk and say, when you damage, you're going to be paying the best of your field. Who's the payer? That's obviously the damager. And the best of your field, even though the Torah uses a pronoun, but come on. Pashup Shan, the Pasuk, is obviously we're talking about the field of the Mazik. He's the one paying. You don't think we're talking about his property? And so Rabbi Kiva says, Pashup Shan of the Pasuk. I can't ignore it. So Rabbi Shmuel, Ani Gzereshav Avani Kra. So Rabbi Shmuel will tell you as follows. Look, I think my Gzereshav is correct, and Rabbi Kiva, I also think your Pashup Shan is correct as well. What? The Gemara explains. Ani Gzereshav Lechadam Aron. So the Gzereshav is like we just described. In other words, in a situation where you have the ABC of the Mazik, the ABC of the Nizak, the C of the Mazik is equivalent to the A of the Nizak, Gzereshava. You pay C. Why? Because that's his A. Okay. Ve'ahanikra, the E is la Mazik idiv zibaris. Let's say the Mazik has A and C. And v'zibaris ide lo shavi ki idiv the Nizak. Now it happens to be that the Nizak's A exists somewhere between the A and C of the Mazik. I know this part's confusing. I know it's going to take a moment to think about it. I'm not going to give you the moment. So if you're listening at home, you could just pause. But the or in the base medrash. But in other words, but right now, I'll say it again. So you have A and C of the Mazik. And you have A of the Nizak, the A's Nizak falls somewhere qualitatively between the A and the C. And now the question is very simple. Do I round up or do I round down for the Mazik? So that's where Rabbi Yishmael says to Rabbi Akiva, now I'll go with Pashup Shat. Pashup Shat in the Pasuk, what do? Round up. In other words, the Mazik now has to pay Meitav Sadehu, which means his A. So the Mashalim and Meitav, okay. And the Gemara continues in terms of discussing the machlokas. Rabbi Kiva Amar Lo Ba Kasav Ela Gavos Nizak Minez V'Kavah Chomer LaHekdesh. Now the way Rabbi Kiva formulated his position, a little bit funny. Lo Ba Hakasav Ela LaGavos Nizak Minez. And again, in context, we know that means the idus of the mazik. Okay, and then he says Kavah Chomer LaHekdesh. What is that a reference to? So my Kavah Chomer LaHekdesh. So the Gemara says, yeah, what is that a reference to? So the Gemara says, well, let's say your ox damages the ox of Hekdesh. So we have a Xeris Akosov that tells me that I don't pay. So maybe Hekdesh over here is where I make a pledge to the Beis HaMikdash. The Gizbar comes to my house to collect. So the Gemara says, well, if we're talking about making a pledge, so that's no different than any kind of obligation, and obligations are going to be assessed using beinonis. And I don't know, maybe Rabbi Kiva says that a Baal Chov collects with idis. So ikla mifrach mal Baal Chov shekein yafa kocho benizakin. So tomer behektesh. It can't possibly be. Then it won't make sense. Meaning, if in fact Rabbi Kiva says that Baal Chov collects with Idis, so then the Kavah Chomer falls apart. Meaning, so when it comes to Nezek, sorry, let's start again. When it comes to obligations that are due, so you're going to be collecting with Idis, And meanwhile, when it comes to Nezik, you're going to be Pata Lagamre. You don't have a Kavachomer anymore. Okay. La'olam denachei tur didan la'tur de'akdesh. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to go back to the statement of Rabbi Kiva, but we're going to go in now giving a much different shot. Okay. We assume that when your shore damage is that of Hektish is shore, so you don't have to pay anything, Xeris Akasov. The Gemara says, how about this? That's a machlokas. And we're going to now suggest that Rabbi Kiva holds like the other position. What's the other position? The one we're going to see right now. Lo'olam denachei turei didan la'tur de'hektish. Rabbi Kiva says, like Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh at the time. Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh omer, shor shel hektish shenagach l'shor shel hajo patur, v'shel hajish shenagach l'shor shel hektish ben tam ben mu'ad, m'sham nezek shalem. Okay, so according to Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, when my animal damages hektish animal, I have to make full payment. When a hektish animal damages my animal, patur legamre. Oh, okay, good. If that's true, meaning that, when I say if that's true, if Rabbi Akiva, in fact, holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, so now our kal v'chomer is good. So ihachi mi may de beidus the nizak kizibaros the mazik pligi dilma de kolay ama b'denizak shaymina v'hacha beplota the Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh v'rabbanan kamitzlagi the Rabbi Akiva savalak Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh and Rabbi Shmuel savalak rabbanan. So the Gemara says, okay, so now if Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh says that my animal damaging a hektish animal is chayiv. I have to pay hektish. And meanwhile, when hektish damages my animal, I'm patur lagamrei. If Rabbi Kiva holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, so now I'm going to go back to our original braisa where we originally presented the machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. And how about I say the following? When it comes to whose property do I assess, the mazik or the nizak, maybe they're not arguing at all on that issue. Maybe both of them would agree that we're going to be the kuliyama, but the nizak shaminan. That we're going to be using the nizak's property to go ahead and assess what is metav sadeu, meaning the gzeir shava. And then but there's definitely a machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Maybe the only machlokes that exists between the two of them is whether or not when you damage hektish, do you pay or do you not pay? Rabbi Akiva would say, like Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, you pay. The Chachamim would say you don't pay. Maybe the machlokas between the two of them is only about damaging hektish. So im kain, so the Gemara says, no, can't be. The Gemara says for a host of reasons. Number one, im kain my lo ba'al kasuf, meaning Rabbi Kiva clearly is arguing with Rabbi Shmuel about regular nezek. Lo ba'al kasuf, meaning he's clearly talking about the pasuk regarding nezek being adam l'chaveru. And va'od my kavachomer lehekdesh. And then Rabbi Kiva is using that as a launching point to now describe what happens when you damage with the hekdesh. Meaning, if you're making a kavachomer, you're going from point A to point B. Point A has to be damages bein adam lechavero. Point B is going to be hekdesh. If bein adam lechavero, when I damage, I have to pay iddis. Kavachomer, when I damage hekdesh, I'm going to have to be paying iddis. Okay. So in other words, don't tell me that the entire machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel is only about when you damage hektish. They're clearly arguing about damaging ben adam l'chaver va'od hamravashi tanya behejo. And then on top of all that, the brisa clearly meitav sadeh meitav karma yishalem meitav sadeh shal nezek. I'm sorry, meitav sadeh shal nizak meitav karma shal nizak. The Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva omer meitav sadeh shal mazik meitav karma shal mazik. And on top of all that, we have a beferish brisa that tells us that they're arguing about bin abnul chavera. Okay, so that was a long walk. Let me just quickly. I'm not gonna outline every step that we just did in the Gemara. Admittedly, that was a lot of back and forth, and those were a lot of steps. If I may, we're gonna take a step back. We asked a simple question, and we have now given so far this morning one answer. Our Mishnah says that when you damage, you pay iddis. That's the halacha. Period. Okay, good. Then the Mishnah clearly is framing it as that's a takana midrabanan. And the Gemara is trying to understand takana midrabanan. How about this? It's a pasuk in the Torah. It's not a takana midrabanan. So why in the world would the Mishnah call that a takana midrabanan? Good. Answer number one of the Gemara is that the Mishnah is talking about the following ukimta. And that is that the properties of the Mazik ABC are not the same grading as the properties of the Nizak. In fact, the C of the Mazik is equivalent to the A of the Nizak. And now, here's the question. The Torah says now to the Mazik, you have to pay. You have to pay the best. Well, who's best? If I ask Rabbi Akiva that question, Rabbi Akiva will tell me very clearly. The best of the Mazik. He's the payer, the best of the Mazik. In fact, Rabbi Akiva will tell you, that's Pasha Pshat in the Pesukim. How is Rabbi Akiva going to see our Mishnah? Rabbi Akiva will not see our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is not holding like Rabbi Akiva. But then when I go to Rabbi Shmuel and ask him, who's best do you pay? Rabbi Shmuel will tell you the following. Based on the Gzeirah Shavah, you pay the best of the Nizak, which means that the Mazik only needs to pay a C, because his C is equivalent to the A of the Mazik. Good. That's Minat Torah. And now comes in the Chachamim, Takanam is a Rabbanan, and the Chachamim said, even though Minat Torah, you can get away with paying your C, we're stepping in and we're telling you, you have to pay now your A. And why? Why would the Chachamim do that? And the answer is very simple. Rashi says it. Rashi's on the Amud Aleph. I didn't share with you the Rashi earlier, but I'm sharing it with you now. Rashi says it'll make people just simply more careful about not damaging other people's properties. Meaning, if I can get away with paying my C, but now I have to pay my A, so now it's going to make everyone think a little bit more, be a little more conscientious. Hey, right? Don't damage other people's properties, because when all is said and done, you're going to be paying your best property in order to make good on those damages. Okay, good. Adkan, that takes us through answer number one of the Gemara. Why would the Mishnah call that Takana? Answer number one, Lefi Rabbi Shmuel. Good. Next. Ravina Amar, Lola Masisin, Rabbi Akiva, Hidamar, Midarais, Midamazak, Shamin, Rabbi Shimon, He, Didarish, Shamin, the Kram, Matam, Kamar, Matam, Nizak, and Shamin, Lembi, Is, Mimbi, Tikkun Olam. Okay. Another approach in that of Ravina, and that is our Mishnah could really be going like Rabbi Akiva. Now, again, that's very difficult to understand. Rabbi Akiva says that Minat Torah, you're going to be paying Iddis, your Iddis. So then what does that mean, Tikkun Olam? Ravina says, Tikkun Olam over here, not to be understood in the classic sense of, this is a rabbinic legislation? No. Tikkun Olam in this context goes like the Shita Rabbi Shimon. Not to be confused, by the way, earlier this morning we quoted Rabbi Shimon and Manasseh. We're now quoting a different Rabbi Shimon. This is probably the Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Akiva subscribes to Rabbi Shimon. I know Rabbi Shimon's a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, but in other words, in Svara, he holds like Rabbi Shimon. What does Rabbi Shimon say? Your Dorish time is a crow. Okay, this sheet of Rabbi Shimon, we see again and again throughout Chas, and that is according to Rabbi Shimon. Not only are we have the right to go ahead and understand the reasons behind the mitzvahs of the Torah, halacha will be shaped and formed based on those reasons. I would say it's a radical shita, but it's not a radical shita because it's Rabbi Shimon shita. But I will also say it's a das yachid, meaning, generally speaking, we don't do that. Now, we always look for reasons of the Torah, right? It's called the Sefer HaChinuch, right? It's called the Mar Nevuchim, meaning we have classic Svarim, Rishonim, who try to give us better understandings for every mitzvah in the Torah. But they are just simply Tameh HaMitzvahs, right? In other words, we're tasting a mitzvah. But if we don't really understand the mitzvahs, in other words, to the best of our ability, we try to give some sort of understanding. The Torah is given by the infinite. We're finite. We're not going to understand the reasons of the Torah. Okay, but we always seek to do so. Rabbi Shimon's position is a more radical position because not only does he seeking reasons of the Torah, we all do, but on top of that, he's also now going to shape the halacha based on those reasons. It's fair to wonder, meaning you're assuming you know the reason of it, maybe the reason's something else. Okay, but doesn't matter. In other words, so now in terms of saying Pshat in our Mishnah, so here's what we're suggesting. According to Rabbi Shimon, who says that you're Dorish time of the Krah, when the Mishnah says Tikkun Olam, the Mishnah is it's another way of the Mishnah saying Dorish time of the Krah. Meaning, why does the Torah say that the Mazik has to pay Meitav? Because what the Torah wants is for the Mazik to be more careful, like we explained earlier, and therefore you have to pay your best. Okay, that's what the Mishnah meant. De Tanya Amar Rabbi Shimon Amru Nizak and Shamalem Beidus Mimnei Sanim Mimnei Hacham Sanim. So why does Nezik have to pay with the best? So, because of people who steal and people who are extortionists. Today, she yomer adam lama, and he goes of a lama, and he chomes, lamacha, based in yordan, lenach, seven, yordan, sada, nashali, visomchen, amashakasa, batar, metav, sada, metav, kamar, yishalem, leficha, chamra, and he's akim shamam, lambeidis. Basically, what we're doing is that we are making everybody think more than once about, right, should I extort? Should I steal? Okay, now, obviously, some people will arrive at the conclusion, yes, that's what I'm going to do. But in other words, but it'll give everyone pause for just a moment to think, wait 1 second, let me think about the consequences. Meaning, if I'm caught, so I'm going to have to pay. Not only am I going to have to pay, I'm going to have to pay my best. It'll give another reason for people to think, hey, let me do the right thing. Some people like doing the right thing because it's the right thing, and some people do the right thing because of consequence. So if the... Okay, good. I know. It's not going to work for everybody, but it'll help. Good. Adkan, that takes us now through our first sugya of this morning. When the Mishnah says that the Mazik pays with Idis, so what we tried to do this morning is understand, what do you mean that's a Tikkun Olam? It's a Din D'Oraisa. So over the course of this morning, we've so far gone through two, then that's it. That's all we're going through. Two approaches in terms of how to understand the Mishnah. Approach number one, our Mishnah's holding like Rabbi Shmuel. When we say, B'demazik, really, Minatar, it's B'denizak, that's a kind of B'demazik. And the approach number two is that really our Mishnah's Rabbi Akiva. I, Tikkun Olam means we're Dorish time of the Krah. Like Rabbi Shimon. Let's now understand the Bachov is going to be paying with Beinonis. Now, Kadesh lo yira adam chaver sadana vidira na viomer exports valvena Kadesh agben Bachovi lafichach amru Bachov Beinonis. The Gemara says, why is it that when you have outstanding obligations, you're a borrower and you're paying your lender? So why is it that he can only collect from your B properties, not your A properties? So the Gemara says that's a takana. Why is it a takana? We just read. I'm now explaining. It's because we're worried about predatory lenders. Okay, so right, this was unfortunately really popular not that long ago. I know it's still popular, but in other words, we had a meltdown. What was it? 2008. So lenders got too excited. So anyway, so lender sees a good property, and they know right now that borrower is not. It doesn't have a good credit score. And so now what lenders can do, if lenders know that they're going to get paid back in IDIS, so lenders are going to make now very risky loans so they can go ahead and they can collect the properties. Okay. So in other words, in order to try to mitigate and minimize predatory lending, so the Chachamim said that you, the lender, can only collect B, you can't collect A. All right. So the Gemara says, Elamiata Yebiz Yibores. So the Gemara says, okay, so if we're worried about predatory lending, so why not, in other words, so only allow the lender to collect C. So the Gemara says, yeah, but then no one's going to lend. So, im kein, atano al delas bifnei lovin. Yeah, but in other words, obviously, like everything in life, we need to balance over here. Meaning we want to stimulate lending, right? It's a topic, it's a concept that comes up again and again throughout Shas. In other words, economy works based on lending. We need people to lend money. So if they're only going to get compensated with C properties, no one's going to want to lend. If they're going to collect A properties, so then that's too much incentive for them to be predatory lenders. Okay, so in other words, so basically what we're going to do is we're going to balance it out. So the lenders are going to get compensated. Not A, not C, but rather B. Ksuvasisha bizi baris, div Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir Omer bebeinonis, I'm Rabbi Shimon Mema Amru, Ksuvasisha. So we saw a machlokas in our Mishnah that ksuvas isha, and when she's now collecting her ksuvas isha, so she's collecting from. So it's a machlokas. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, she's collecting ziboris. According to Rabbi Meir, she's collecting beninus. Now the truth of the matter is, Rabbi Meir makes sense. Why? Because when she's collecting her ksuva, so what is she? She's a balchov. She's collecting a debt. It's an obligation. So she should be collecting with beinonis. So Rabbi Meir's position doesn't need much explaining. Rabbi Huda's position, that needs explaining. She's only collecting Ziboris. Why should that be? So the Gemara just gave us two svaras in terms of why that should be. Number one, women want to get married more than men. In other words, you don't have to give strong incentive for women to get married. Naturally, they'd like to get married. They have more of an intuitive nature of wanting to get married. That's number one. So therefore, they don't need the incentive of, don't worry, you're going to be financially compensated. You're going to get B properties. They don't need that. That's number one. And number two, a woman can get divorced either with her interest or afilu shalala ritzona, or if she's not interested. Meaning a husband can divorce his wife afilu bal karcha. But that's not true regarding the man. A man can only give the divorce only ritzona. Now, point number two, what was that addressing? The Gemara's next question. My davar acher. So, chitim ha'echad d'chi mapik la'ihu, tekin l'rabban ha'ksuvas minei, ki nafka ihi, nami litkinei l'rabban ha'ksuvas mina. I might have thought that maybe the Chachamim should institute a ksuva in both directions, from man to woman and from woman to man. If the cause of divorce is a man, he'll pay the ksuva. If the cause of the divorce is a woman, she'll pay the ksuva. For a moment, we're going to entertain that, but that's only for a moment. We're now going to apparently reject that. No, that's not how it's going to work. So, Tashma, Isha Yotza Liritzon, Visha Liritzona, Ha'ish, Eino Motzi, Ella Liritzona, Efsha Damashi, Lebegito. And of course, ksuva is not going to go both directions because a woman can be divorced even if she doesn't want to receive a divorce. A man, on the other hand, cannot give a divorce bal karcho. So therefore, the ksuva is only for her and her protection. There's no need for a ksuva for a man and his protection. The man cannot be divorced against his will. Okay. Ksuva si should be zibaris. Okay. Marzucha. We'll start with Marzucha tomorrow. Okay. Good. This is a good place to stop. Right. Let's quickly recap. Let's review 8 takanas derabbanan that we learned in the opening mishnah here in the 5th parak of the Masechta. We went through all 8. We gave a really cursory explanation of all 8 takanas, and then what we did next stop along the way today is that we explained. So far, we explained takana number 1 of the mishnah. We explained takanas 1, 2, and 3. Takana number 1 of the mishnah is that when you're mazik, you have to pay be'idus. Our big question of this morning, it's where we spent the bulk of our time, it's a takana derabbanan, the mazik pays be'edis, it's a pasuk in the Torah. What does it mean, takana midderabbanan? Good. It's a strong question. The answer of the Gemara is that one of two approaches. Either our mission is going like Rabbi Shmuel, where according to Rabbi Shmuel, if I have ABC of the mazik, and ABC of the nizak, the C of the mazik is the A of the nizak. So min haTorah, what does a mazik have to pay? His C. Mid rabbanan, what does he have to pay? He now has to pay his A. Good. That's approach number one. Approach number two of the Gemara is that really our mission is holding like Rabbi Kiva. Really, you have to pay your A of the mazik min haTorah. It's a pasuk in the Torah. Tikkun olam here means we're dorish time of the krah. Okay, that's a. That's our second approach of our Mishnah. That covered most of today's daf, right? Obviously, that is a very short summary of today's daf, but that's most of today's daf. Then we talked about lending, and generally speaking, when you have a chov, when you have an obligation, outstanding obligations, so the Baal Chov can come and collect, but only from Beinonis. Why Beinonis? So not Idis, because if it were Idis, so then that would encourage predatory lending. We don't want that. And if it was Zibaris, no one's going to lend. So the Beinonis seems to be the sweet spot of, it stimulates lending, but it doesn't encourage predatory lending. Good. And then finally, we went over Ksuvas Isha. So it's a machlokas Tanayim, but the Shita of Rabbi Meir is that, the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda is that the Ksuvas Isha shall only be able to collect Zibaris, and not Beinonis, even though Rabbi Meir says Beinonis, and as we pointed out, it's an easier shita to understand because, again, she's just a Baal Chov. Of course she collect Beinonis. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, she's collecting Ziboris. Why is she collecting Ziboris? So the Gemara says because, number one, we don't have to incentivize her that much to get married. Intuitively, she wants to get married. That's number one. And number two is that that the woman can get divorced, but even against her will, but a man cannot get divorced against his will. And that second point is coming to respond to what? So the Gemara explained. Not to the point of Ziboris, that was already explained in the first point. But why don't we make a bilateral ksuva, a bidirectional ksuva? Why don't we have a ksuva for him? And the answer is very simple. Because he can't give a divorce bal karcha. Now I say that, by the way, we know, we're going to learn later in the Masechta, that if a person doesn't want to give a get, so we can strongly encourage him to do so. Basically, we can force him to do so. But whatever. I don't have to complicate and confuse today's daf more than it already is. We have covered now three of the eight tekanas of our Mishnah. Tomorrow we pick it up with Marzotra.